I say I titled it, To Be Healed. To Be Healed. And I believe this is God's timing for this message in the day we're in. Because I believe we're coming to a time where, you know, I was saying a couple of years ago that we kind of need to learn how to take care of ourselves, be our own doctors, because of what's happened to the medical situation in this nation. And we really need to learn some basics about medical. Well, I think it's gone a step further, and we've come to the point where to be healed is a very timely and much needed topic to be talked about. So if you would pray with me this morning as we invite the infinite God to come and visit us this morning. Father, wounds and diseases are just part of our life now. We know this, our Lord God, that there's but one source of true healing. And the worst wounds, Father, we know are the wounds of our souls, wounds from our enemy, the one who comes and afflicts us. So we just pray for that supernatural power, the power, healing power of our God, to be present and active here this morning, moving in our midst, dealing with these things. Father, we believe your word, your authority, is always present to heal. And it's over in our court. You know, it's written, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. So we asked, Spirit, be here today. Yeah. Holy Spirit, healing, Holy Spirit, come. Minister today and do your good pleasure, your plan here, that the power to be healed, present and active in hearts here today, touch the souls that are here. I pray that we would all access this to be healed. It's not a word that we speak, Father, but it's a reality that we live in. A truth that we put in our heart, and that it grows into a mighty tree, that it just becomes who we are. Healed of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. Strange place, right? Start talking about being healing. Third chapter in verse 3, it says, a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. Healed here in the original language is rapa. It means a time to mend or a time to cure or a time to heal, time to make whole. And the word mend actually means to stitch up. Stitch up our healing. You know, healing, I'm going to go off script here a little bit, talk about our infinite God. Something I've come to understand, he's an infinite God. And one of the things about being infinite, he has infinite revelation. We think we learn a lot in life. But here is the God who knows everything. And the words that we bring and say sometimes come from an infinite God. And here's the way, and I think I've shared this once or twice before, how I came to understand that God is a healing God. I was raised in a church that never talked about it. Just wasn't really talked about much. And I was home one day. I'd literally gotten a great big pallet. We're talking 3x4s and 4x4s, this tall and about 8 foot long, made out of green wood that they put under transformers, was dropped and it landed against the backside of my leg. And it didn't break the skin, but it cut the muscle. I literally have a dip in my calf like this. Now, it's healed some, but it's remained ever since. And what that did, that wounded me, and I needed healing. I didn't know anything about it. But what it did do is it put me home for a while. I was off work. And long and short of it was, I was downstairs, and I watched this crazy show called The 700 Club. Yes. Crazy show. Wild. They're on there giving words of knowledge and talking about people being healed and, you know, sending ships all over the world, sending doctors to heal and just doing all kinds of good things with Operation Blessing. But anyway, Pat Robertson was on there, and all of a sudden he started talking about healing. And they started giving testimonies about people being healed. And I was in the basement of our house. We lived out on the West End at that time. And I hollered upstairs. I said, "Sarah, get down here. When this start healing happening, when people start getting healed." Didn't know. I was 30-some years old. I didn't know. And the revelation that our God is a healer came into our life at that point. Amazing, isn't it? You see, He's infinite. The revelations that He has for us are infinite. The things we have to come to know. And the Scripture is just full of it. And I call mysteries and treasures. And you almost got that message, but you're going to get this one. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. We believe that the man who wrote this was the wisest man who ever lived besides Jesus, King Solomon. And most scholars believe he was backslidden, if you will, apostate at this time. Some believe he was just in a very deep blue dog depression. And he was journaling his way out of that, or way through that time of depression, when he wrote this. But it's so strange to me that he would write a time to heal. We need it all our life. It's constant. Be healed of the diseases and the wounds that come into our life. It's just part of life. And this is a basic belief we have here, that Jesus heals. It's the truth of our daily lives. We pray for our family, we pray for ourselves, we pray for each other, believing for God to heal. James 5, 5th chapter, verse 16 says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." And you know the word I got for that? Sin wounds the soul. Confess your trespasses to one another. That's not a physical wound. Sin wounds our souls. We were wonderfully created, were we not? Amazing bodies. Our Creator is just amazing. The intricacy of our bodies just amazes me. It's just so different. John Hopkins, everybody knows about John Hopkins Hospital, wrote this. And they put down a four-step process that we go through in healing. Guys, I am not a resource for medical knowledge. I am the dad who would tell his kids, "Walk it off, you'll be all right." You know, long as blood wasn't gushing forth, walk it off, you know. So what I say up front is my apologies to all who have education in this. So I'm just going to read. I can read. Four-step process in healing. Step number one, stopping the bleeding. Good idea. It's called hemostasis. When your skin is cut, scraped, or punctured, you usually start to bleed. Within minutes or even seconds, blood cells start to clump together and clot, protecting the wound and preventing further blood loss. These clots, which turn into scabs as they dry, are created by a type of blood cell called a platelet. The clot also contains a protein called fibrin, which forms a net to hold the clot in place. Step two, inflammation. Once the wound is closed with a clot, the blood vessels can open up a bit to allow fresh nutrients and oxygen into the wound for healing. Blood-borne oxygen is needed for healing. The right balance of oxygen is also important. Too much or too little, and the wound will not heal correctly. Another type of blood cell, a white blood cell called a macrophage, takes on the role of wound protector. This cell fights infection and oversees the repair process. You might see some clear fluid on or around the cut at this time. That is helping clean out the wound. Clean out the wound. Macrophages also make chemical messengers called growth factors, which help repair the wound. Step three, blood cells, including, it's called growth and rebuilding. Blood cells, including oxygen-rich red blood cells, arrive to build new tissue. Chemical signals tell the cells to create collagen. It serves as a type of scaffolding, and occasionally you'll see the results of this process as a scar. Starts out red and eventually dulls. Fourth stage, strengthening. Over time, the new tissue gets stronger. You might notice stretching, itching, or even puckering of the wound as it happens. Your wound gains strength quickly over the first 6 weeks of healing. In about 3 months, the wound is 80% healed. Strong, it's as strong as it was before the injury, but the wound area never reaches 100% of its original strength. Depending on the size and severity of the wound, the entire healing process can take up to a couple years to complete. This process is predicated on the patient being a healthy person and the wound does not have any complicating factors. Aren't you glad you came today? There'll be a test on your way out. This is a very simplified explanation of many additional processes that go on in healing. This isn't, but how amazing is our God? He created our body that within seconds of being wounded, our body begins to heal itself. Knowing this, how could we ever think our God doesn't heal today or want to heal? If he made our body like this, why wouldn't he want to heal always? He bothered to make the body to naturally heal to begin with. I say we have a supernatural, natural ability to heal, for healing. Yes, God does miraculously heal also. One of the truths I learned early in my walk with the Lord was that all truths are parallel. I mean, truth here is truth there. So truth here came from truth in the kingdom. Jesus demonstrated this all the time when he was here. We call them parables. The kingdom of heaven is like. So he would state a parable that's true about here on earth. And he said, the kingdom of heaven's like that. So as we look at the wound and the healing processes that God has put in the body in a natural process, it mirrors what God did in the kingdom. I believe there's great truths to be gained from the healing process in our physical body. It all begins with this, believing, having faith that God wants us well. It's victory in Jesus, right? God wants us well. Having faith in that. You see, many of us are walking around with deep wounds in our souls. Did you hear that? Many of us are walking around with deep wounds in our souls. God does not intend for his warriors or his soldiers or even just his saints to go about living with wounds in our souls. Who knows how hard it is for a warrior, a soldier, to go fight if he's wounded? Just doesn't work. So to start with, Jesus announced his plan to his disciples. He's preparing to send them out here. This is what he says to them in Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. Who knows, you can't give away what you don't possess. He totally possesses all power in healing. So what was the commission? What did he give them that he possessed? Remember, his blood hadn't been shed for the remission of sin yet. His body hadn't been wounded, for by his stripes we are healed. This was prior to that. Holy Spirit hadn't even been given yet. This was prior to that. Yet healing is manifold, isn't it? He gave them power. Didn't say faith, power over unclean spirits. You see, faith releases power. He gave them power. Faith releases power. Power to heal sicknesses and disease and to cast out enemies. Power. He gave them, the word in the original Greek is exousia. Power. Privilege, freedom, authority, and just jurisdiction. The power of privilege. The power of freedom. The power of authority. The power of jurisdiction over healing and the enemy. Do you think they felt any different after they had this meeting with Jesus? That all of a sudden they felt like they were loaded up with something? I don't think they felt any different at all. I don't think they, when they walked out, they thought, okay, that's good. Sure doesn't say anything about it in Scripture, does it? But it does point to his plan for the ages. His first act with his disciples was to give them power over casting out demons and to healing the sick, all manner of diseases. You see, his plan is to absolutely destroy the works of the devil. That, and to bring healing to his people. 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 8. 1 John, 3rd chapter. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He wants to destroy the wounds of our soul from sin. Jesus spoke of the ultimate healing when he came. His purpose did not change. Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 14 and 15, and he's quoting from Isaiah's prophecy about why he came, his original purpose. Matthew 13, verse 14. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. He explains what happens when the Spirit here, when anyone hears the words of the kingdom, Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, when anyone hears the words of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. You know, it's hard to see, but the devil's been stealing truths from our hearts for a long, long time. And one of those truths that he wants to keep us from is that Jesus is our healer. He absolutely does not want us to grasp hold of this revelation, this change, and get it down in our heart so that every time we speak it out, it comes out in faith and it releases the power to heal. He's a bad devil. It's the very lifeblood of Jesus, of this kingdom, of this word being healed. And it's the very thing the devil doesn't want us to understand. The lifeblood of the gospel. Seeing, receiving God's word is where our healing comes from. Yeah. Just as a wound in the natural body has to have blood flowing to it, our spirit, our soul, our body has to have God's word flowing to it for healing to begin. We have to. Wounds have to have God's word applied to it to be healed. It says in Isaiah 28:10, line upon line, precept upon precept. Isaiah 28:10, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. You know, we all love the miraculous healing and work of God. But it's just as much a miracle when it comes from line upon line and precept upon precept, and he accomplished a revelation in our soul. It changed my life that day, sitting down watching TV. My life flipped at that point. God was no longer a God that talked about, that was just up in the heavens watching. He became a God who's down here moving in our midst, healing, changing lives, moving us from one place to another, helping us in all that we do. He gets down inside us, and from the day we accept him into our heart, we are never the same again. Born again means all things are new. Anyway. See, I believe this, that our total healing is in his heart for us today. And I do believe that many, if not all of us, are walking around with wounds in our souls. And he can't have his warriors with wounds in their soul. Guess who has the story? Of course I do. My parables, I guess I could say. This one's true. Actually happened. It was late October of November 1963. Why do I know this date? Because I was rehabbing on the couch in our living room at DeKalb, Illinois, watching TV, and I watched JFK's assassination live. I saw it live, you know, sitting there at home. And that's how I know the exact time. I'd been playing baseball with, I think it was a Boy Scout team, but I'm not positive about that part. And it was my turn at bat. And I stepped up to the plate, you know, and I hit the ball, and it actually went a ways out in the left field. And I took off running, you know, around the bases. I got around second, and they'd retrieved the ball and were throwing it in. And so as I was coming up to third base, I thought, I got to slide, you know, because they're going to tag me out. So I went down and I slid into third base. Well, the place we were playing was just an old field up in DeKalb, Illinois, you know, just an old field. And as I slid into third base, there must have been a root sticking up out of the ground, and my right knee caught that root. And my knee swelled up so big that they either had to cut my jeans off or take my jeans off to get to the knee. And my mom and dad took me into the doctor, and he examined the knee, and then he gave him the news. He told him that I had torn my ACL. You know, I was 12 years old. I tore my ACL. And at that time, you know, it was just a different time. And he explained the process, how they'd have to go in and fix it. Well, they decided not to fix it. They decided just to let it heal as best it could. So what happened to me is that knee was very wounded. And for a long time after that, I'm 12 years old, if I just bump it kind of hard, it'd swell up. What they had to do was get a needle with a big hole in it and drain the knee. Very painful. And I tolerated that for a couple of years. But what it did is I'm wounded. And I know I can't play sports as a young kid. It just took that, you know, I just didn't know any different. Over the years, the natural healing processes have helped this knee. And I've been walking on it this way for 60 years now. And it's still wounded today. But it really doesn't hinder anything for me. None of you knew, did you? You can't tell the way I walk or anything. I look quite normal. Well, I wouldn't know normal. But my gait's not unusual. How's that? Anyway. But the wound's deep. And there's only one way to fix this, is to open it up and go in. And I think after 6 years, that 60 years, that's probably not possible anymore. You see, deep wounds are all that way, that if they aren't healing inside, if there's an infection or foreign matter or something down in there, it may not heal properly. But it will do is heal over on top, you know, and you can't see what's down in. Guys, this is a parable, a soul wound. Anybody squirming in their chair yet? Healing. We're finally going to get to healing. All truth is parallel. Jesus said this again. I'm going to read it again. And then the prophecy of Isaiah, Matthew 13, 14, chapter 13, 14, 50. The prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, that I might heal them. Jesus was talking about all kinds of healing, shalom kinds of healing, nothing broken, nothing damaged, nothing missing. His work on the cross dealt with it all. Spiritual healing, he restored our relationship with him, with the kingdom. Mental healing, we now have sound minds. Yeah. Healing of our soul, that our hearts can find peace now. Physical healing, for by his stripes we are healed. He sent his word and healed them. You know, one of the things that people do with the deep emotional wounds is we build up what we call defense mechanisms. Probably all familiar with that. You know, how to deal with an emotional hurt every day. And we'll say things like, oh, I don't do that. I know others do, but I just don't do that. I don't like to. Or we'll respond angry to people, to a situation we shouldn't respond angrily to. Doesn't call it, but it touched on the emotional wound that's in us. Especially to our loved ones, we'll do that. We make excuses for justifying doing something or not doing something because of our emotional. It's okay, I'm just too busy, you know. or they should just take care of that themselves, or there's just so many things we'll say. People, actually, we do this. We go get something to eat just to make ourselves feel better. I do this. Our hearts grow dull. Our eyes become closed. And our ears don't hear. Faith is a heart belief down in here. If we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth, Jesus will heal. When we walk around emotionally wounded, we can't hear or see or understand. Here's the truth. My knee being damaged for over 6 years has built up a lot of tissue, muscle, and strength in other ways as a defense mechanism to prevent any more damage to that area. So much so when no one ever knows that the knee has an issue. God made our bodies amazing. I know better than trying to run as a long-distance runner. I know better than to try and ride a bike a long, long way because it will bother me. So what it's done, it's created bounds. I have limits of what I can do. I'm in bondage to this knee, you see. And the truth is, it's a parallel to our emotional wounds. We build up such good responses to whatever triggers us. No one ever knows we have that wound. We're badly wounded on the inside, but no one ever knows. It's a deep, deep wound that's healed over on the surface. You see, just the trigger mechanism evokes such a fear, it paralyzes us and binds us. And the last thing any one of us really desire is to deal with this wound. Because just like this needle to heal it, that wound has to be opened up and do what I call rough it up on the inside for it to heal. Because that's the way a physical wound like this would have to, you gotta go. It's not the medical term, I know that, but you're still going to go in, you're going to rough that knee up to fix it. Well, so you have to do with emotional wounds. A little uncomfort in the room, huh? It's tough. You see the why there's uncomfort? You know why it's uncomfortable? It's perfectly acceptable to have physical ailments. We all accept that. It's perfectly okay that we have a physical problem. That's, everybody has those. Emotional problems? Yet, it's truth, isn't it? I get queasy even talking about it. All of us. Every one of us. And you know what I say to that? The fiery darts have done their work. That's exactly what it means. Do you believe the answer for these healing of emotional is in God's word? Do you really believe that? It's the very heart of getting healed. We have to really believe deep down in our heart. Confess with our mouth. Rough it up. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the 15th verse says this: For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, yet without emotional wound. I believe it helps to know where our wounds come from, doesn't it? Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 16th verse, and it says this: Listen carefully. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Above all. Above the breastplate of righteousness. Above your feet being shod with the gospel of peace. Above the helmet of salvation. Above all. You see, we got that wound to begin with because our shield was down. Take the shield of faith to quench the fiery dart And a fiery dart is not a physical wound. The fiery dart. If you don't believe emotional wounds are the absolute worst, ask the person who's come back and has PTSD. And they will tell you they are death on wheels. Emotional wounds. Psalms 147:3 says this: He heals the brokenhearted. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up the wounds. What's the first step in wound healing? Stop the bleeding. You got to bind up the wound. He heals. Is a broken heart a physical wound? It's not, is it? Yet it's the worst. Our God is more than capable of healing of our hearts and soul. He just is. Jesus is actually the only one who can bring healing. I believe there are things we can do in the natural to help, and they do help. But complete healing, only Jesus. So how, right? Isn't that the good question? Isn't that the good question? How? Hebrews 11:1. Faith releases the power to heal. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I want to use an example of Moses. And we're going to go down to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 24. And he says, by faith, which was releases the power to be healed, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughters. I chose this because it shows you that faith is not some kind of mystical, secret, hidden away thing. That if we beg God, he might give us a little. It's not it at all. We all quote the scripture, healing comes by hearing the word, right? Here's some word for you with faith. By faith, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, on the outset, that seems just pretty plain. But if you think about where Moses was, he came from the bulrushes, right? In the reeds, and he was lifted out as an infant out of that little ark he was in, and Pharaoh's daughter raised him as her own. And Jochebed, that's Moses' mom, was asked to come nurse him. And so she came and nursed him. But after he was weaned, he was raised Egyptian. He knew Egyptian laws. He knew Egyptian gods, and he knew Pharaoh's daughter, his mom. But it says when he became of age, he realized he was Hebrew. And by faith, can you imagine the emotional ties with this? He's tying himself to slavery. He's tying himself to those who the Egyptians really despised at that time. So much so, they didn't want him around. They put him off on the other side. He was raised in opulence, everything. So all his knowledge, all his understanding of the world is Egyptian. And now, when he becomes of age, by faith, he says, nope, I'm Hebrew. I'm Jewish. By faith. See, it's a knowing in your heart, believing in your heart, and confessing with your mouth. Faith. It's what it is. It's how you were saved. You believed in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you confessed with your mouth that he is Lord, and you're now a born-again Christian with the Spirit of God residing inside you. So you believe with your heart that Jesus is the healer, even of emotional wounds. And you confess with your mouth, Jesus, you're my healer. And You know what you're going to have to do with that emotional wound? You got to get it out. You got to get it broken open. Sometimes we have to go all the way to confess our fault, our sins to one another, that we might be healed. Just how it happens. Let's read one more time, Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 15. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Our hearts grow dull over whatever the wound is. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and lest they should understand with their hearts and turn and turn so that I should heal with them. It's a fiery dart, guys. And when it enters, it wounds, it burns. There's nothing worse than physical in a burn wound. Moses, it was a lie that we received when we received this wound. It was a lie of the enemy. What emotional lies have we received? Let's pray. I believe in my heart, Father, that you sent Jesus Christ, the healer. One of the basic things you sent him for was to destroy the works of the devil. And the work of the devil is a fiery dart, a lie that I have received. And I just stand against that lie right now. I believe my knee's healed. I believe my emotions are healed. Whatever it is, just confess it in your heart right now. And believe Jesus is your healer. And I say, Lord, bring healing here today. Release the power, the exousia. The exousia, Father. The mending. The power of kingdom authority. The power of healing of all wounds. In Jesus' name, that every soul here and every soul that's received this online would receive the power to be healed this day. It began when Jesus died on that cross. A gift to us, Lord. And we receive that gift that by his stripes I am healed. Deliver us from the evil one, Father. No more stealing of your truths. You can't have it. Thank you, Jesus, for setting us free, for having victory in you that we are delivered. Father, I believe in the days ahead. This is more needed than anything else that we have in our spiritual armament. The shield of faith. We raise it up today and believe you are Lord, you are healer, you are Savior, you are deliverer. We give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people say, Amen.